God's timetable, no 2 days are the same. Every day, God has a specific and definite plan to do something to your life that's positive, that can help you become the man or woman that God designed you to be. He programmed your life. And the only way you let that programming of God become not only effectual, but influential to other people is by giving yourself wholly to God's plan for your life, by presenting yourself to the influence of the Word of God. You know, one amazing thing about human beings is that a lot of them, almost all their life, never come to terms with what is really important. A lot of people live a whole life without ever knowing why they were born. Doing everything else except that thing for which God brought them to this world. What a waste of life. What a waste of life. You know, it's one thing to say, this is what I want to do with my life. But have you ever found out what God wants to do with your life? Did you ever stop to think that you needed to know from Him the reason you were born? Except, of course, if you think your parents were the one who brought you to this world. But they're not. They didn't plan for you. They wanted to have a child, not you. They didn't know you were coming. And then you came. And for some time they were glad, until they discover who you were. Don't live an empty life. For many do. Don't live an empty life. It's too short for you to mess it up. Remember, there were people who lived up to 900 years and more. But those 900 years have long ended and they are gone. How long do you want God to give to you? So life is not rich by reason of its length. It's rich by reason of its accomplishment in God. Now I want you to notice that. Life's accomplishment in God. There's a great difference between what God sees your life to be and what men see your life to be. And shall believe in thine heart. What is your heart? Your spirit. With the heart you believe. You just know in your heart. You just know it. You just know it. There's no argument in your heart. You just know it inside your heart. You know. You believe it. You can't believe with your mind. So sometimes they ask us stupid questions. They say, Jesus was born of a virgin. I say, but you were not there. How can you say you believe that? Because we believe with our spirit. Man doesn't believe with the mind. He believes with his spirit. Believing is not a thing of the mind. It's with the spirit. And to believe with your spirit, you can believe something you've never seen. That's the ability of the human spirit. The human spirit was made in the image and likeness of God. Image of God means in the form, looking like God. Likeness of God means to function like God. And how does God function? The Bible shows us that God functions by faith and by love. See, He functions by faith and by love. God is love, the Bible says. Everything He does is an act of love. And God is a faith God. He's a faith God. He lets us know without faith it is absolutely impossible to please God. See? And everything that he did as an act of faith. The Bible says by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. He acted by faith. and spoke creation into being. Hallelujah. So God is a faith God. So when the Bible says that man was made in the image and likeness of God, it means that man was made to look like God. That's the image of God. And then the likeness of God, meaning to function like Him. He functions like God. So you are able to believe something you have never seen with your optical eyes. You're able to accept things that you have never felt. Because you are greater than your senses. See, the problem with many people is that they live according to their senses. Well, that's the natural man. That's the natural man. The natural man lives according to his senses. He needs sensory proofs for everything about his life. He's got to have sensory proofs. The teachers of that man are his five senses. If he cannot relate with something through his five senses, he cannot accept them. That's the natural man. Until the gospel of Jesus Christ imparts faith to his spirit. It's only the gospel that imparts faith to your spirit. The faith of God. It brings light to your spirit. Because the word of God, the Bible says, is light. Hallelujah. When the word comes to you, it brings the light of God into your spirit. And suddenly, when you accept it, you are awakened spiritually to the fatherhood of God. You recognize Him as your Father. You know He's real. Hallelujah. The word of God is important. Now, the word of God is not given for you to feel good. It's not given for you as a story. It's given to you to live by. You understand? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You live by it. Come on, you eat some food every day, am I right? You eat something every day to keep your body alive. You got to eat the word of God to keep your spirit alive. How do you eat it? By hearing it and receiving it into your spirit and meditating upon it. Are you hearing me? Do you know most Christians have never known the value of meditation on the word? A lot of them meditate on their problems. They have made an idol of their problems. They worship their problems. They celebrate their problems. They talk about their problems more than they talk about God. They talk about the bigness and severity of their problems more than the power of Almighty God in their lives. They worship their problems. They've made an idol of their problems. They meditate on their problems. There are times when many people sit alone, all they're thinking about is what to do with their problems. They're meditating. And the more you meditate on your problem, the greater that problem becomes. The more real it is. The more it puts you in bondage. The more pressure it puts on you. That's why some of you, when you come into the house of God, you can't even stay awake. You're feeling sleepy. Why? Because we're not talking about your problem. That's your problem. Whenever you're talking about it, you are awake. You're among your friends talking about your problems. That's the God you serve, but you don't know it. Everything about your life revolves around your problem. Every time you receive money, you're trying to do something about your problem. Every time you call somebody on telephone, it's about your problem. This, your problem, that is 8 years old now. You see it? It's greater than God. You say, no. God is greater than everything. No, that's not the way you're living. You're living your life like your problem is greater than God. I told you a story one time about a certain preacher. He was feeling so down and out, actually. And he felt like the challenges in his life and ministry had become too much, not knowing what to do. So his wife had been observing him. And then one day, the wife went into the room, got a black dress, put it on, used a scarf on her head, a black one, and came out. The husband said, "What is it?" She was crying. Why are you in all this? She was in black, full black, everything black. "What's the matter with you?" She said, "God is dead." "God is dead?" She said, "Yes. That's why I'm crying. He's dead." Her husband said, "What are you? Are you out of your senses? God cannot die." She said, "Oh no, he's dead." He thought, something's really wrong with this woman now. God cannot die. And he thought, like, let him just preach a sermon to her. Let her know God cannot die. God lives forever. And by the time he was preaching all that to her, she took off the scarf and said, "So why are you living like he's dead? Why are you acting like he's dead? All the money you're crying about, all the discouragement, like though God is dead." Then he realized he was the one that needed a faith sermon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tell somebody he's not dead. Sure he's not. He said, "For with the heart man believeth." That's verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." With the heart you believe unto righteousness. What's the second part of it? And with what? The mouth. What happens? Confession is made unto salvation. Listen, some of you say, "Well, I believe my problem is going to go away one day." That will not change it. That is good, but it will not change it. "I believe one day God's going to make something happen." All right, that's nice. You're talking good about God, but it will not change the situation. He says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." That you have believed unto righteousness doesn't change anything. How many of you remember Lazarus in the Bible? Lazarus, who was a beggar. And when he died, the angels came and took him to heaven. Come on, talk to me. You remember that story? But he was a beggar. And the Bible says he had wounds all over his body. Wasn't God there? God was there. After when Lazarus died, he said angels to pick him up. They didn't pick him up because he was poor. They picked him up because he was a righteous man. Under the old covenant, he was a righteous man. But he was sick. He was dying. He was afflicted. He was poor. And God couldn't change it. God couldn't change it. He was a righteous man, but a suffering righteous man. He believed unto righteousness, but didn't change anything. Are you listening to me now? There's a lot of righteous people, glory to God, but they are suffering, and they don't know why. And they stand on the other side and look at those of us who are, oh boy, my. Who are having a time with life. And they say, "Well, they must be doing something wrong." Keep pointing your accusing finger. Doesn't change anything. You remain in your suffering state. I can only keep interceding for you that one day your eyes will be open. But I've made up my mind to have a good life. The Bible says David, when he was old, he was full of days and goodness. God had touched his life and blessed him. He was the one that said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He didn't say goodness. He didn't say, I'm praying that goodness and mercy will come to me. He didn't say, I'm praying that God will give me goodness and mercy. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David said. That's what David said. What about you? You're standing there and struggling and struggling and struggling. Yet the Bible says, they which believe and enter into his rest have ceased from their struggles. See why your life is full of struggling? Some even say it. You say, how are you? So we're struggling. They think it's nice to talk like that. They think it's humble. No, 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 you're not being humble. You're being stupid. Yeah. To talk like that is not right. It's wrong for a child of God to talk like that. You're struggling because you're ignorant. Jesus said you err because you know not the scriptures. He says you err because you know not the scriptures. God said my people perish. My people suffer. My people are crushed because of the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. That's why they suffer. He didn't say my people perish because I don't answer their prayer. He didn't say my people perish because they don't pray. He said because they lack knowledge. What knowledge? Revelation knowledge. The knowledge of the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put a stop to your struggles. You can put a stop to your problems, to your sorrows. I don't have problems in life. I face things that challenge my faith. And boy, am I glad every time there are such crises. Why? Because they are bread. Read it. I'm just like Paul in the Bible. He said, I rejoice in my infirmities. He said, I'm glad when problems come. I'm not the first to talk like that. See that? I'm not the first to talk like that. The Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's like Paul. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, daring to be independent of circumstances. He talks my language. Are you still there? Paul was a man of like passions. He wasn't different from us. He had the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same Word of God, and lived in this same earth like we're living in today. He faced the same devils and demons of hell. He had the same angels at attention. Why should he have more advantage than we do today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. But that is not the end of that verse. You are righteous. You are wondering where your problems are coming from. You help people. You do things right. You try your best to the best of your knowledge. Why are those problems still there? I want to tell you why. A woman lost her husband and all her children in the same day, but she had been a prayer warrior. She said, God, why? Why? I give my time. I give my offerings. I go to church. I worship you. I serve you every day. Why did my husband die? Why did all the children die? Oh, if they only knew that death is not from God. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He calls death an enemy. You say, why do people die then? Study the Bible and find out. I can take a whole series on that for you. Study the Bible and find out. When a Christian is full of days and ready to go, even if you're ready to go at 15, makes no difference. There's a way to go. There's a way to go. You get ready. You decide. Together with the Lord. Is it scripture? Emphatically, yes. And then you give your last messages to those that you want to give to. And check out of this place. There's a way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She said, why? You have another Christian. They said, we're going to fire some people. And the only people that got fired are all Christians. And they went out crying, why did God let them fire us? Why? The most frequently heard prayer in heaven is a one word prayer. Why? They just stand there and feel like, if I could see God now, Lord, I hope you can see my face. I'm not happy with you. Why? Why? What have I done that was so bad? Okay, I know I'm bad. Because the moment they say, what have I done? They just remember some sins. Boom, 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 boom. They say, oh, okay, I know that I'm not so good. But this thing is worse.